just as I am, without one plea. What that means is I have nothing good to present to him. Just what I am, just as I am. And this is what he says. All who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. Rest in your souls. Rest in your lives. Rest in the midst of confusion. Rest in the midst of pain and heartache. Rest in Jesus. I come just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. That's all I have is your blood. I know I have it. I'm a thief. Can you hear me? Is it on? My wife is reminding me I have this on and I'm speaking in there. Yes, it's on. Sister Sandy, can you hear me? Okay. Praise God. God bless you this morning. Thank God for this afternoon. Let us pray real quickly and quietly. Father, this morning, this afternoon, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for another day. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for breath in our lungs. We thank you, Lord, for this roof that's over our head in the sanctuary. We thank you for your presence this afternoon. We thank you, Lord, for joining us here, right where we are, just as we are. Just as I am, Lord, you, as great as you are willing to sit and be with us. Lord, as we worship you, as we love you, as we look upon your word, Lord, as we feast at this table, you said you would present us before our enemies with a feast. You would anoint our heads with oil. You would restore our souls. Thank you for being our good shepherd this afternoon. Bless your word to our hearts this afternoon. Each one, you know our needs. You know what we stand in need of. You know why we're here today. We're here to say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank God. You may be seated. As you can see, the title this afternoon, we proclaim Jesus, the Eternal One. Thank God for the week we've had. Thank God, as someone already mentioned, the Father's Day blessing they blessed us with last week.
Amen.
We had a good day that day. The God kids came over. But what really got me, my wife is sitting there laughing because she know what I'm about to say. My sons came over, you know, they blessed me with a card, and I wanted you to be blessed by this Father's Day card. It says, Dad, on Father's Day, wear this button. This is the button. Wear this button to show your position of authority in the family. It says I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. Come here, Sister Jones. She's laughing. You got to come up because you're laughing. Come on up here. Come on, Sister Jones. Because what it says inside, it says, remember, it says to show your position of authority in the family, right? But then you open the card. It says, but don't forget to give it back to mom tomorrow. Oh my God, I tell you, this kid's a boy. I feel like, what was the guy named? Rodney Dangerfield, no respect, no respect. But you know, we live in some interesting times. When you think about it, I've been alive, and many of you have been alive a long time, and we know that we've never seen times like this, where there's so much in the news, bad news, you know, so much going on, stuff that we never dreamed of. And it's a good thing to know the truth when there's so much lies and so much deception and so much wickedness, so much darkness going on in our world. It's good to know Jesus.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We proclaim Jesus, the Eternal One. That word proclaim is a word that stands out for me, at least. We're going to be looking in this study today at 12:33, so I know where I'm starting at here. We're going to be looking at 1 John, and we're going to be looking at some verses in chapter 1 and chapter 4 mostly. But we're also going to be referring back, because John wrote the book of John, the gospel of John, as well as 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. So he wrote 5 books. But we're going to look at 1 John mostly, but a lot of what we're going to read is also iterated in the gospel of John in the first 7-8 verses. So we're going to be referring back and forth because it's the same writer and the theme is so similar. But the word proclaim means to report, to pronounce. It even means to praise. So when we read that word proclaim, keep that in mind. And we're going to refer back to the 19th Psalm, which was written by the shepherd boy, David, the psalmist, the one who became king of Israel. He was referred to as the man after God's own heart. And this man, David, reports to us in the first verse, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, in the 19th Psalm. He says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard." Verse 4 says, "Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words throughout all the world." So what our psalmist, the one who loved God, says to us, that the heavens proclaim the glory of God and they shout it out loud and clear in silence.
Yes, all right.
So when we look at our text today, which is 1 John, this is now the Apostle John. John was referred to as the apostle of love, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So as I always tell you, anytime you read any of his 5 books, always keep in mind there's an underlying theme in anything John writes, and that's the love of God. He's referred to as the one who loved Jesus.
Amen.
The beloved disciple. I'm going to read the first few verses here. Verses 1 and 2 says, "We proclaim to you." Now, this is the beloved disciple. Remember, David was the one who loved God. John is the one who loved Jesus. "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us." These are some profound words, because what is happening here is this is a man who was among a few guys called the disciples, 12 of them, and some few women who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. But what he's reporting here is that we didn't know who he was when he was here. They didn't get it until he died, until he rose, until he ascended. And so here's they say, he says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning." Now, in the first gospel, in the gospel of John, his first writing, the gospel of John, he says, "In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God." Now, he says in the beginning, but if you read it in the Amplified, it says in the beginning before all time. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus was before time began.
Amen.
What I'm saying here is that time had a beginning. We think of time as just going on and on because we live in time. Eternity was already there
before time started. If you read the book of Genesis, it says that in the evening and the morning was the first day. Now, he's not just saying this was the first day of his creative process. He's saying this was the first day, the very first day that there ever was days. There was no days before that. It was all eternity. And so the first day is what he's saying here. He says before the first day came along, and before we talk about what time is, when we talk about days and weeks and months and years, generations, you know, millennia, eternity was there, and Jesus was there, and he was with his Father. So he says, we proclaim the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have, now listen to what he's saying in these next few verses. He's explaining to them that we experience the eternal God. He says, we heard him, we saw him, and we touched him. Okay, well, we touch people all the time, don't we? But this guy was the one. He says that he is the one who is eternal life that we saw, heard, and touched. So they're saying that this one who we walked with for 3.5 years and didn't know it was eternal. And this eternal one came into time from out of eternity and walked with us, and he was real. So as the beginning of this started, it says, we proclaimed you. So the first proclamation, he says that Jesus is life. He is life. He is the source of life. He is the giver of life. John 1:4, going back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, he's the giver of life itself. And his life is eternal. John 14:6, he says that what? I am the what? The way, the truth, and what? The life. Now, when he says I'm the life, he's talking about eternal life. Why? Because he's the eternal one. Looking at verse 3 and 4, he says, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, he says, we are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy.
Amen. Wow.
The one who is eternal, who was in the beginning with the Father, came to earth in a body to reveal the Father. You remember what the disciples said when Jesus was, they were talking, and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In verse 6, one of the disciples asked him a question. He says, no, he made a statement. He says, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And what did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus came to earth to reveal the Father. So when you saw Jesus walking, when they saw Jesus walking and they rubbed elbows with him.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine? You can't imagine. I can't even imagine it. But he says this is reason for us to what? Rejoice. Let's look at the next few verses, starting in verse 5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say, and we read this in Power, if you weren't in Power this morning, this is what Brother Checky was talking about. If we say, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But verse 9, one of our well-known verses, because it's a very important verse, he says, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. Verse 5 tells us what? God is light. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light. So God is light, and he wants us to walk in the light. That means live in the light. Why live in the light? Why is it important? We walk in the light Because the light teaches us truth. When you walk in the light, you walk in truth. Light also, it says, he, if we confess our sins, which means agree with God, he will, if we confess them, he will cleanse us from unrighteousness. So walking in the light, walking in the truth, has a cleansing effect on our souls. So the second proclamation, the first proclamation, Jesus is life. The second proclamation, Jesus is light. Why? Not because of what we read, because this said that God is light, right? This, John 8 and 12 says, I am the light of the world. So if God is light and Jesus says, I am the light of the world, guess what? They're the same. And Jesus is light. He is life and he is light. And this light is eternal, just like life is eternal, because he's eternal. He's the eternal one. John 1, 4, back to the Gospel of John. He says, his life brought life. So there's a big connection between life and light. And in 1:5 says, the darkness could not stand up against that light. Why am I mentioning the darkness? If you look under your chairs, you see shadows. The lights in this room shine down and you can see the tops of the chairs, they're lit up. Under it, you see shadows. Why? Because the light can't penetrate the chairs. That's why you see shadows. But the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ, the darkness, it evaporates. It's not there anymore. That's the power of the light. Darkness cannot be where the light of God is. Amen? Verse 4, now we're in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. So far, we're what? Jesus is life. Jesus is light. Listen, look at the fourth chapter, verse 7, 8 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. Now, this is going to be some tricky stuff we're getting ready to do here now. So verse 8 tells us what about God? He's love. God is life, God is light, and Jesus is life, Jesus is light, and Jesus is love. Verse 8 says, God is love. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. It says, look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it belong to the Lord your God. Verse 15. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love. God chose us as the objects of his love.
Yes. Praise
God. God made the universe first. Heavens and then earth, right? Then he made all the animals, all the plants in the sea, all the animals in the sea, all the animals in the air, the four-footed beasts. On the sixth day, and remember, all those days he said, it is good.
That's right.
So he said of the universe, now we just read where in the psalmist says what? The heavens declare the glory of God. Awesomeness when you look up in the sky. And you see God's creation and his handiwork, right? But when that was created, what did God say of it? It's good. As awesome as that is, that's all he got to say is it's good. But when he made man, us, the object of his love, he says it's very good.
Right.
And he says that because what? This creation called us, he said, we're going to make this one in our image. You're talking about awesome. When he says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made because we're made in his image, he says we are made more awesome than the universe. I don't know about you, but that excites me. And he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as is evident today. Now, this was Deuteronomy. They were talking about today then, but as is evident today. He still lavishes his love on us. So what is our third proclamation? Our first one was he's life. Jesus is life. Our second is Jesus is light. Our third one, Jesus is love. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So everything that God was shown to us in a human form. Amen. So Jesus is love. And when we talk about this kind of love, this love is the same as his nature, which is eternal. This is an eternal love. And because his love is eternal, and because God is love, it's required of us, because his spirit lives in us, to love. Who do we love? Who's the first we love? God first. First we love God. Then what did he say? The second is like another first? Our neighbor. Then what did Jesus tell the disciples on the Last Supper? Love one another. And finally, and this one is our favorite, we are to love our enemies. Right? Our favorite one. I'm being facetious because I know this is hard. He didn't say it was going to be easy. For me and you, it's not easy. It's not natural, but it's supernatural. Christ in you is the hope of glory, because you have to be Christ. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy, which means the way I would respect people, the way I would love people, you have to love them. Even your enemies, even the ones you talk about, even the ones in high places that you don't like, even the ones you didn't vote for, even the ones that are down in the gutter, you have to love. Love your enemies. Why? Because that's what God does. That's what Jesus does. He loves. When we read the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Jews never go through Samaria. They went around Samaria. But what love does is love does some strange things. Love bypasses all the boundaries and the limitations that we put on. Love says, no, that's not, no, I'm going right through there. I'm going this way. Because there was somebody that had a need. This woman needed help. And she let him know that. And he already knew. When he knew her before he even got to the, before he even decided to go through there. He knew this woman that had five husbands and was living with a man that wasn't even her husband. Jesus knew that. And that conversation is phenomenal, because he never judged her. He only talked to her like she was his equal. But that's love. That's what love does. Love overlooks our faults. And it sees our needs. Love. Jesus is life. Jesus is light. Jesus is love. 1 John 4:13 says, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. In the 17th chapter of John, this is what we call the high priestly prayer, when Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for us in that prayer. Us. I'm talking about us right here. He prayed for us. And in verse 21, he says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me. Now, he's talking to his father. He says, as you are in me and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. This is how we get faith, is when he lives in us. He has to give us faith. We don't have faith. Gives us faith. So Jesus is life. Jesus is light. Jesus is love. And the fourth proclamation, Jesus, the eternal one, lives inside of us. Amen. You want to know how you have eternal life? You have eternal life because the eternal one lives in you. Jesus, the eternal one. So the question is, have you experienced the eternal one? Have you experienced the eternal one?
All right.
They experienced it. He says, we proclaim to you that we have seen the word of life. We rubbed elbows with the Creator. We walked with the Creator for 3.5 years. So what about us? Have you experienced the eternal one? He sent us his Holy Spirit, and now we proclaim that he is eternally life, he's eternally light, he's eternally love, and he eternally wants to live in us. And the eternal one in John 14:6 says what? I am what? This is a message for those that are lost. You don't know where you're going. You have found that you're the place that you're in. You don't even know how you got there. You don't know what to do. He says, you're lost. Come and follow me. I am the way. Those that have been sucked in to to all this nonsense going on in this life, in this world, the lies, the deceptions. He says, come and follow me. I'm the truth. Those that are walking in darkness, those that are walking dead. There's a show comes on called The Walking Dead. He says to you, come and follow me. Those that are dead in trespasses and sins, I'll give you life.
Yes,
eternal life.
Hallelujah.
He's the eternal one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he also is love. I have eternal love to give to you. He told the woman at the well, he says, out of you will flow rivers of living water. That you won't have to come to the well anymore. It's not that she won't come to the well anymore, but her old life, yes, she would leave behind. And this is what he wants. He wants to give you new life. And with that new life, a new hope.
Yes.
And as Pastor says all the time, he wants to turn your dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, it is.
Then give the Lord a hand, please.
Amen.
He is the eternal one, Jesus Christ.
Oh, glory.
Praise God. I'm done. What? Yes, that's right. She just played a song, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And as thou bidst me come, he bids us to come to him. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Our musician is going to give us a song and then we'll pray.
For God so love the world that he gave his only begotten son. Heaven.
If you believe that, let us stand and we're going to pray. This is a message for today.
Yes, sir.
It's a good thing to know the eternal one. The things we see today were not here yesterday. They were not here 10 years ago. They were not here 100 years ago. And 10 years from now, 100 years from now, they won't. What we see today won't be here. Everything changes. Ideas change. Philosophies change. Belief systems change. We have one thing that we know never changes. God never changes. He changes not. He says, if I were to change, you'd be consumed. God never changes, and His word is true, and it's eternally true. Amen. And so somebody today may need to know that their salvation is sure. And we're just going to pray. We're going to pray that there's no doubt. He says, you going to pray? Oh, you need prayer. Okay. We're going to pray those that need. Pastor, maybe you got time to. Maybe those that need prayer. If you need prayer, you just lift up your hand. The pastor will anoint you and we'll pray for those that have
need. For my sister, may yes. Continued strength.
Amen.
Pray for Bonnie.
Okay.
Sister Winita.
Bonnie, Winita, and Mildred. Amen. 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 Bow our heads, close our eyes, and you can pray where you are in your own way. Father, this afternoon we're here once again thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for who you are. You're the sovereign God, sovereign over all things, sovereign over the things going on in our lives. We thank you for being King of Kings. Lord of Lords, we thank you for being Lord of our lives, King of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you will do, for what you've already done. And Lord, we know there are those here today that are looking for hope. They're looking for something solid, something to hold on to. We thank you, Lord. You give us a solid rock to build our foundations, our lives on. We thank you, Lord. We are anchored in you today. And Lord, we ask that you give confidence to those that may not be sure of who you are. Let them know for sure that you are the eternal Lord with an eternal love for them. And so today, God, look on Brother Tyrone. Look on those in his family, Juanita, Mildred, and look on him, look on the rest of his family. Look on Pastor and Sandy who have come back, and those that were at the meeting in Las Vegas, Lord. Look on those who raised their hands here in the sanctuary. Those who may be on social media who have not raised physical hands, but they have raised their hearts to you today, God. And they want to know that there's a surety. They want assurance that you are who you say you are. You're a God who loves. You're a God who brings light. You bring illumination. You bring understanding and wisdom. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing even now in our hearts. We thank you, Lord. You're a healer. Lord, you're a deliverer. You're a provider. Oh, God, shine a light in the dark places. Oh, Lord, with your word
is truth. Your word is power. Your word is able to deliver. And we thank you today. Bless your people today. Bless your people this afternoon. Right here, God. And as we leave this place, as we get ready to depart to our destinations, Lord, we thank you for being with us here, but God going before us, ahead of us, to get us safely to our destination. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for enlightening us, giving us a hunger and thirst for you. That relationship, Lord, to be closer to you, a closer walk, Lord, to drive us into deeper depths and higher heights. And experience you in a deeper way. We thank you today. Bless the box on the wall and bless every giver, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the men on yesterday at the men's meeting that were blessed. Thank you for those that are headed for the Harvest Crusade coming up. Bless those that are going to the jail at the end of the month. God bless those that are going to the women's retreat, Lord. So many things going on, Lord. We just ask that you go before us and bless, touch, deliver in the name of Jesus. We love you today. We thank you. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Amen, praise the Lord. Did I make a record? You mean that I break away? How quick I was? Oh, I'm on.